Would you stand with me as we sing our opening hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful. Together responsively. Glorious God, who presents us with the most precious of gifts, we praise you for all your blessings in our lives.
Today we have come to this place in the midst of a busy time.
We might not even have everything ready at home, yet we have come because we ourselves need to be ready.
Work in our hearts, preparing us.
Work in our lives that we may reach out to others in comfort and compassion.
Work in our world that the darkness may be driven out by your light.
Seated as we continue our responsive reading. Loving Father, help us remember the birth of Jesus so that we may share in the song of the angels, the gladness of the shepherds, and worship of the wise men.
Close the door of hate and open the door of love all over the world.
Let kindness come with every gift and good desires with every greeting. May Christmas morning make us happy to be thy children.
And Christmas evening bring us to our beds with great
forgiving and forgiven for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
We are so delighted to have Kay and Rich with us, Katie and Rich. It's just, they've always brought class to our services. Our first scripture lesson is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
Jesus.
begin reading from Luke. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every time I come to the Christmas season, I feel like I'm in the pocket. Now, I don't mean the football expression about the pocket, because I actually don't know what that means. So if any of you football fans want to explain it to me, you can try. And maybe about the fifth or sixth time, I'll get it. But when I'm talking about the pocket, it's that small time in space and in place of joy, knowing that in the blink of an eye, it will be over and life will go back to normal. That's why every Christmas, the song "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear" has resonated with me, especially the third verse. "O ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. Look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. I knew from the time I was a child that once the gifts were unwrapped, the ornaments removed, life would return to normal, and I'd have to wait a whole nother year to get in that pocket of joy again. So I wanted to learn more about the man who wrote those beautiful words. His name was Edmund Hamilton Sears. He grew up on a farm in the 1800s. He knew the hard work of farm life, but he had the soul of a poet. He wrote this about himself. As a child, when at work, some poem was always singing through my brain. He became a pastor, and his first church was in a small rural parish, and he really loved the church, but because of financial concerns, he had to take a larger parish. And he did quite well until illness forced him to resign. You see, in those days, there were no microphones to boost the sound, and his voice got weaker and weaker, and he could no longer preach and throw his voice to such a loud crowd. So the small rural church that he had once pastored welcomed him back to rest and recover. He was dispirited and depressed, not only by his physical condition, but also the condition of the world that he lived in. To one who preached peace, he saw the Mexican-American War and the wars in Europe as a travesty. To one who preached the love of Jesus, slavery was an unspeakable sin. To one who preached equality for women as well as men, he died before the right to vote was given to all citizens. In this context, he wrote the hymn, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." Edmund Sears, rather than wrapping himself in despair, started to listen to the voice of the angels. He listened to the voice of the angels, which declared peace on earth and continued to be an advocate for peace. He listened to the voice of the angels when in 1850, a heinous law was passed entitled the Fugitive Slave Law. And it stated that if a slave escaped to the North, that law enforcement in the North would have to round people up who they suspected were runaway slaves. And if they refused to arrest them, they would be fined $1,000. That was like $30,000 in our day and age. And anyone who was caught giving comfort or respite to a runaway slave was also fined and could face up to 6 months in jail. To this vile law, Edmund Sears proclaimed to all who would listen, "When human and divine law are in conflict, it is the duty of all to obey God's law." He listened to the voice of the angels in the last year of his life when an accident left him debilitated and in constant pain. He wrote these words, "O thou, most present in our paths, when least thy steps we see, amid these wrecks of earthly hopes, I breathe my prayer to thee. What though this house thy hand has built must in these ruins fall, my soul shall rise, sustained by thee, serene above them all." So when the lights come down, the ornaments packed away, our vacations come to close and the kids are back in school and life becomes really ordinary, and you feel the weight of the world descending on your shoulders, take a moment. Rest beside the weary road and listen again to the voice of the angels. The one who came so long ago resides within us, stirs us to good works, sustains us in every season of life. Won't you listen to the voice of the angels. Amen. Let us turn to that beautiful hymn, number 286 in your hymnals, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. Candles were used in a Christmas Eve service was December 24th, 1747. It was a children's service in which the pastor desired to impress on them what the coming of Jesus meant. He spoke of the blessings which came through the birth of Jesus, among other things, that by his wounds and pierced side, he had lighted a blood-red flame of love in every heart, which would burn forever. For an impressive reminder of this, each child was to receive a burning candle tied with a small red ribbon. Then the children held their candles high as the pastor sang, O little Jesus, thee I love. Kindle a pure and holy flame within the heart of every child, like that which from thine own heart came. Today the candle is made of beeswax, which is the purest form of wax, symbolizing the sinless life of Jesus. The red trim reminds us of the blood of Jesus, and the fire reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world. While we light our candles, Katie will be leading us in this little light of mine.
Thank you.
Now Milo and Theo are going to come to lead us in Morning Star. If you turn carefully in your hymnals to hymn number 281, which is Morning Star. Clap, but that would be dangerous. But thank you, Milo and Theo. That was wonderful. We'd like you to carefully stand with your candles. We're going to be singing Silent Night the way it was written to begin with, which was but with guitar. And at the very last verse, we ask you to raise your candles high to signify that you will be bringing Christ's light to all whom you meet.
Oh,
Go now into your homes and neighborhoods, bringing the light of Christ's love to all whom you meet. And the God of peace will be with you. Amen.